All right, this is a Perek Vav in Hilchos Geneva. So Rambam is going to continue with halachas that have to do with the item that's stolen, and whether or not you can purchase it. And they might say very unique and specific halachas about certain types of professions and certain assumptions you can make about that which, excuse me, that which is being sold. So it says halacha. So if there is something that has the assumption, meaning we can assume it was stolen, doesn't mean 100% proof, we can assume the thing was stolen, you're not allowed to buy it. So too, if the majority of a particular substance is known to be stolen, you can't purchase any of it. That's why you're not allowed to purchase straight up from shepherds, things like wool or milk or what do you call it, the young kids. You can purchase from them milk and cheese if you're in the desert, but not in a settled city type area. However, you're allowed to purchase, let's say, four sheep or four shearings from sheep from a small flock and five from a larger flock. Because you don't assume that that amount was actually stolen. That's considered to be not the requisite shear. What's the general principle? The Rambam says, "Kol sharoa mokro." Right. So, whenever a shepherd's selling something, imhaya balabais markishbo. So, if what he called he's selling the kind of thing that would be noticed by the owner, mutalika, then I can purchase it from the shepherd. Let's say it's the kind of thing that the owner would not notice. So you're forbidden to go ahead and purchase it from the shepherd. So not allowed to purchase wood, okay, or fruits from those people who are in charge of watching produce, unless they are open about selling them and they have baskets in front of them and they have scales in front of them. Because now it's obvious and clear, there's evidence to support what they're doing. And therefore, we can say this is not considered stealing. You can purchase produce from the opening to the entrance way to a garden. Avalom, but not from the back of a garden. However, whenever a someone selling something says, quote, hide what I'm selling, then you know you can't purchase from that person. You can purchase from, let's say, someone who co-owns or is leasing an area of a field. Because he has some share, some ownership in the produce that's coming from the field. You cannot buy things from women, from servants, or from minors. Only things that we can assume that normally belong to them with the permission of the owners. So, for example, women who sell garments made out of linen in the northern part of Israel, or they or calves in the Sharon area of Israel. The Kulon Shamru Hatmain, anytime any one of the sellers says, hide these things, then you know you can't purchase from them. Also, because we assume that they were stolen. You're allowed to purchase eggs and roosters from anyone in any place. But of course, again, if they say hide these things, then it is prohibited to buy from them. So you're allowed to go ahead and purchase directly from an owner of an olive press, let's say bunches of olives or oil, but not a small amount of olives, or not a small amount of oil. Because we can assume they were stolen. Okay, so let's say someone is in charge of he's a cleaner of clothes, he's a launderer, and there are little bits of extra tzemer wool that come off, right? So what do you call it? You can assume that what do you call it? The person washing the clothes, he's allowed to keep that. V'shasorek motzi hare elu shel balabais. However, if I'm using a comb to remove the wool, then any hair that's left inside the comb, that belongs to the owner of the wool itself. Hakoves notel shel shechutin v'hein shelo yesu mikan shel balabais. So a launderer is allowed to take up to three strands of cloth for himself, and anything more than that belongs to the balabais, the owner. If extra strings are black and white, then he's allowed to take all of them. When a tailor leaves more than one thread in place, which is there to basically allow him to continue sewing with that needle, as well as a piece of cloth left over from, let's say, a shirt. She shalosh shabbos, shalosh shabbos. It's 3 by 3 finger breadths. Chayav latzinyan lebaylan. So the tailor must return those to the owner. Pachas v'kan shalom. But anything less than that, considered belong to him. L'ches nisora shacheresh motzi matzad shalom. So anytime a carpenter who's working, let's say there's little shavings of wood, as he's smoothing things off, shavings of wood come off, then he can keep them. V'chshiel shabbala bayis. Right, but if it's used by, let's say, an axe, that belongs to the owner. I mean, those wood chips. Now, if he's doing his work by the actual owner himself, then even the wood chips that come off when he uses, like, let's say, he's sanding it, they belong to the owner. So, what's the general principle here is we always go by whatever the common custom of the land is. Let's say someone sells things which he's not entitled to based on the minhag of the local practice. Go on mukhan shemakar and asorak makam shenagu shiyel balabayis. For instance, let's say he wants to sell any of the extract of the wool, and normally would belong to him, but in, where he lives, it goes to the balabayis. Utzlikachamenu, but then we can't spy from him because we can assume that it is stolen. Avalochi menu kar mali mukhan. However, you can sell a pillow filled with wool. The makar uman varm shehen shalom b'hilchos minyan lochi menu. If the craftsman sells things which he's normally entitled to based on minhag b'dinah, you can purchase from him. The mamar hatmanim, of course, if he says hide these things, asar is prohibited to purchase from him. And that's Perek Vav, and we will continue with Perek Zayin next time.